Meditations that we began last week speaking about, and the verse I told you to memorize was Psalm chapter 19 and verse 14, if you didn't know it. And the scripture says, put that scripture up there, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want you to get that in your soul. The Bible says to hide the word of God in your heart so that you will not sin against him. This is the word of God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, you say it for yourself, you don't say it for somebody else. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And last week we talked about unwholesome words. We talked about words that hurt people, words that tear people down. I told you, stop, don't even use a slang, because you don't know a lot of times what that slang means. Get it out. Let wholesome words come out of your mouth. Let uplifting words come out of your mouth. That is your responsibility as a Christian, is to uplift people, not to tear people down. Now, in James 1:19 through 26, we talked about this, being quick to listen, slow to speak, because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So when we want to get angry, we want to get upset. He said, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, you walk away and forget. We talked about that last week. Just because you read the word, how many of you, come on now, how many of you read something and go off and do exactly the opposite? Yeah, we can't do that. He says it's like looking in the mirror and forgetting what it's all about. You have to listen to what God is telling you in his word. So when we quote scriptures like Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, when we hear people quote scriptures, can I tell you, if you will get around a homeless person, they can quote more scripture than you can. Why? Because every time they go to get something to eat, they have a preacher preaching to them, and so they know what the Word of God says, but they're not listening to it, and they're not living it out in their lives. Just knowing it, I mean, come on, Satan knows God. He knows the Word of God. He knows Jesus. He knows what is written, but he doesn't care what is written, and so he's doing his own thing. People go, well, if Satan knows what the end is going to be like for him, why does he keep on doing it? Because he doesn't believe it. He believes he can go against God and his word, and he will win. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. He says, do not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit of how you're living. How are you living? What's your life like? What's your life like in your house? What's your life like outside of your house? What's your life like in your business? Where you work? What's it like? Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit in the way that you live. And then he says in verses 31 and 32, get rid of all, not some, all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That's the hard part. Forgiveness is the hard part, but if we will begin to think, and I was thinking about this even this week as I was working and driving in my truck one day, I was thinking about Jesus and his forgiveness and how he hung on the cross, and while he was hanging on the cross, while he was in the most pain he could have been in, he said, Father, forgive them. You see, we look at it and we go, well, when I work through it all, then I'll forgive them. Don't we? Well, I'll go to counseling for 2 years and then I'll forgive them. And listen, I'm not against counseling. Counseling's fine. I think there's great Christian-based counselors out there, and we need to use those people, okay? They are very helpful. But as Christians, we need a crutch all the time. Well, when I get to that point. But Jesus was hanging in the moment of his worst suffering. He says, forgive them. In the moment of his worst suffering, he said, forgive them. In the moment of your worst suffering, the Lord says, we should forgive. In the moment of your worst suffering. I want you to remember that this morning, because that is difficult. That is the most difficult time to forgive, because in that moment of your worst suffering, you want to take revenge. You don't want to forgive. You want to take revenge. You don't want to forgive. And when we look at it, we say, well, how do we do this? It's the meditations of our heart. If we're thinking about Jesus, if we're thinking about the Lord, if we're thinking back to what he said just shortly there before, he said that we're not supposed to bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that we live. Listen, the way you live outside of church is more important than the way you live inside of church. Why? Because inside of church, you have a little bit of accountability. Outside of church, when nobody's in that truck with you and you're driving down the road, when nobody's with you when you're having to talk to your neighbor or a relative, that is the moment that you need to be living for God wholeheartedly, because nobody's there to stop you doing it wrong. In church, you come in, you go, man, I better act right. Preacher's going to say something to me if I don't act right. In that moment, in that heat of that moment, though, when we're upset, we're not thinking about the preacher. We're not thinking about our family members at church. We're just thinking about how we're going to get our revenge on that moment. We may not take a whip out, but we'll whip them with our tongue. We'll take them out with our tongue. We'll cast that look, you know, everybody has that look of disdain and disgust. Whatever your look is, oh, I'll show them. But he says in verse 31 of Ephesians there, he says, instead of being bitter, instead of having rage and harsh words and all these other types of evil behavior, he says, be kind. Be kind to each other. Tenderhearted. You know, we live in a world that's not tenderhearted at all anymore. Gone are the days of Leave It to Beaver and Little House on the Prairie. You know what I'm saying? I don't know anything about it. I've never watched the John Wick movie series, but there's four of them. My understanding is in that movie series, he just goes around killing people. I don't know what the reasoning behind it is. But look at the world that we live in. Is that tenderhearted? No, the movies that we have today. Listen, I love action, okay? I love action movies. Don't get me wrong. But in an action movie, there's not a whole lot of tenderheartedness in there. When Jason Bourne comes up on somebody, he's not like, oh, you just planted a bomb to blow me up. I'm going to love on you. That's not what he does. He finds a way to throw him off of a bridge and sink him to the bottom of the river. You know what I'm saying? That's what goes on. You know? he may tender up their heart with his fist, but he's not tender-hearted. But that's the world that we live in today, that everything, even politics today, people can't even have. You know, you can't even talk about politics between people because they get so ticked off and mad because they think a different way than you do. You can't just have a regular conversation. People are no longer tender-hearted. And yeah, they're just tender. Yeah, they're just soft. That's what we're dealing with today. But we have to forgive these people. We have to be tenderhearted toward these people, even if we disagree with them, even if they've done us wrong, even if they have hurt us. He says, just as God has forgiven you, we're supposed to do the same thing. Just because somebody voted a different way and your taxes went up, you still got to forgive them, okay? I see on Twitter and in these things all the time, and I can't get into it. I don't like this, and I've learned that I just really don't post much on social media anymore because nobody's listening. And those who are listening just want to argue. But making fun of people, making fun of their appearance, and making fun of things, why? Let me ask you something, why? They have an ugly heart. I'll agree with that. There's a lot of people with ugly hearts. But why do we have to make fun of everybody? Why do we have to... Why do we have to poke at people and everything else? Why can't we just stick to the facts and talk about the facts? If you've been here on Wednesday night, you know we've been teaching and learning how to talk to people about the Lord in a way that's not demeaning, right? What is one of the things I say? We're not in it to win it. But so many people in the world today are in it to win it. I have to win every argument, every conversation I have, instead of saying, you know what? I need to be tenderhearted towards these people because I need, you know, more important than anything, if they don't vote for the candidate that you need them to vote for instance, shouldn't they be seeing Jesus in you anyway and saying, you know what? I need it. Because can I say something? We can't change people's minds unless we change their hearts. We can't change people's minds unless we change their heart, because if their heart is after evil, then they are going to be after evil. But there's this idea that we can change people's minds without a heart change. But all we get then is a bunch of people who think the way we do on certain things, but in their heart, it's on evil all the time. The Bible says that their hearts was on evil all the time. You go out there, and when we talk about, all of this perverse sexual issues that are going on, and you want to argue with the mind instead of arguing with the heart. You see, we've talked about this, that if you do not have the moral law of God, then you get to make up your own laws. So if you're arguing with something about this sexual perversion that's going on in the world, and you're arguing directly about that, but they don't have a moral law guided and directed by the Holy Spirit and by the Scriptures, then what does it matter? Yes, we can use logic to get us there, but the more important thing is to get people to Christ. Because even if they come to agree with us on something, if their heart is not turned to the Lord, then they're not going where they need to go anyway. They're not going where they need to go. And then in Matthew chapter 5, he says, verses 38 through 39, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. No, that's not the way we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to punch them in the face, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Now, we want to put this in a context of you being a Christian, and they come after you because of that. We can also look at the custom and manners of the day and the way what all this turns out to be. But what we need to realize is that the Lord is saying, when someone comes after you, it's not your role to stir it up and punch back. You can defend yourself. If somebody starts beating you in the face, you can defend yourself. I'm going to defend myself, and I'm definitely going to defend my wife, children, and my mother. Somebody starts punching on them, I'm not turning my cheek. I'm going to make sure their cheek is turned really hard, too. And it's not going to be a slap. He's not saying if somebody's attacking you and trying to hurt you in that way, trying to break you. That's not what he's saying, okay? He's saying when you get into these arguments and people are upset and people are don't believe this the way that you do and don't think the way that you do, you got to just turn it and move on. Because you got to look, the Pharisees, they were all about the law. They were so quick. If you remember, they drug a woman out and said, oh, she's been caught in adultery. What are we supposed to do? They were ready to stone her because that's what they wanted. But they knew they were going to get Jesus if he said that. They were so ready. And Jesus says, okay, fine. You cast the first stone if you haven't sinned. I'm sitting here watching. I'm waiting for you. Come on, guys. There's a pile of rocks right there. Just go ahead and grab them, pick them up, and start throwing them. And there they all, what did the Bible said? They all left. You see, we're supposed to be different from the world. We're supposed to love people, love them. The Bible says, I love the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, the young man who had so much money who came to Jesus, and Jesus said, the first thing I want you to do is obey the commandments. He says, I've done that. He says, now give everything away and come follow me. But he couldn't because he had other things in his, he was more concerned about what he owned than what he could do for the Lord. The scripture says there are really two commandments. The law is summed up in two commandments. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Like you like your own body. That's what the law is. But we get this part, love the Lord your God. Oh, I love Jesus. I raised my hands on Sunday morning. I worshiped him. Oh, it was such a good time. And then we go out there and we're like, I'm not loving them as myself. Uh-uh. No, because see, if I acted that way, this is what I'd expect back, so that's what I'm going to do. That's not what the scripture says. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be loved? How would you love yourself? And that's the way you got to show them. Now, when we look at this, we have to understand that when we get closer to God, we're going to get more temptation coming our way. We're going to have more temptation coming our way. Matthew 26, 41 says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. That's what we talked about a lot at men's conference this last weekend. The spirit is willing. The desire to do right is there. But your body, your flesh is weak. And when it begins to feel that, it goes, oh, yeah. You know, if you're working out in the hot summer, and a lot of you guys that work in the heat, and you get to sit down in that cool air conditioning. If you're not careful, that cool air conditioning makes you want to stop. It's a temptation. Let's stay right here. It's cool. It's comfortable. You see, that's what happens in our life, is that we have temptations come our way. And a lot of times those temptations are not just blatantly out there. They're not like, hey, go kill somebody temptations, right? But instead, it's other temptations that lure us in and get us relaxed to the point that we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. We're doing things. But he said, you're going to have temptation come against you, but the body is weak, even though the spirit is willing. So we have to pray about it. We have to keep our attention focused on that may come our way, that temptation. For in James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, he says, remember when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God never tempted, is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone. So when people say, well, why would God tempt me with this? He ain't tempting you with that. You live in a world that has sin in it. You live in a world where the enemy wants to come after you, and he wants to tempt you, and he wants to trip you up and make you do things you shouldn't be doing. So don't blame it on God. But instead, he says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. How do we get rid of those desires? It's the meditation of our heart. What are we meditating on? If we're meditating on that, then we can be driven, that we can be pulled away by those temptations because our desires drive us. How many people do you know? And I know you know them. How many people do you know that you would say, that person is driven by their desires? They're not driven by God. Even if a lot of them go to church maybe, but they're driven by their desires, what they want, whatever that may be. I'm not saying, listen, there are people financially, that's their desire, to have a boat, to have a nice car, to have a nice house, to go out, you know, to nice restaurants, that's their desire. But just money is not the only thing it's talking about. I know people who have no desire for money. As long as they're sitting on the lake every weekend fishing, that's all their desire is. I know people who don't have any money, don't care about money, but that's their desire. But they're pulled away from God by those desires instead of being pulled toward him. He says in verse 15, these desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. We cannot let the temptation come in and stay there. We have to be ready for it to come. And we have to be praying up. We have to be studying up. We have to know what the Word of God says. And when those temptations come to us, we have to say, I'm not going to give in to the temptation. I'm not going to allow the desires of my heart to be set on something other than God. Well, let the word of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, the desires of my heart, be pleasing to you, O God, my strength and my redeemer. And then 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13, he says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Don't get cocky. Don't think you made it. Don't think that you've arrived. You haven't arrived. If you think that you're strong, be careful, because that's the time that the enemy wants to come in. He says the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out that you can endure. And I know, even though Jason had no idea what I was talking about this morning, but as he was talking about King David this morning and the temptation that King David had when he saw Bathsheba having a bath on a rooftop over close to him, David could have looked and said, you know what? I got to go. I got to get away from this because something bad's going to happen if I don't. But instead, I believe David didn't look once, but he looked twice, three times. He sat there and he put his gaze upon that, and that desire became sin, and that sin became death. Look at that. He says that right here. He says in verse 15, James chapter 1, these desires give birth to sinful actions. His desire was for Bathsheba. He saw it and he was tempted. He was not ready and the flesh was weak and he was tempted. And he gave in to that desire. That desire gave birth to sinful actions. That was adultery, which actually gave birth to a child. And he says, and when sin has grown, it gives birth to death. Not only was there death because murder came to her husband, but there was death because of his sin. The Lord said, your child will not live. Do you see how the Bible connects with everything, right? Everything the Bible connects. It's like the human body, everything connects. He said, these desires that you have, you have that, you see that desire, whatever that may be, Amazon may be the one that you got to shut down, okay? Because that's your desires is to spend money. You can't stop spending money. Well, get rid of it. There may be other things that take up your time and take up your life and try to pull you away from God. Social media can be one of those things that pull you away from God. People look at social media. Can I tell you right now, the reason we have so much anxiety in the world today, I believe, is because of social media. Because everybody looks at social media, and nobody, when they look at social media, they see people. They go, oh, man, look at that lovely couple right there. Look how beautiful they are. Look at all the great things going on in their life. Look at that family. Look at their kids. Everything's all nice and a bed of roses. But behind the scenes, what you don't see is the other thing that's going on. They're in financial trouble. Maybe their kids are not obeying them and running away from them in trouble with the law. Maybe other things are going on in their life. But all you see is all the good stuff. All you see is all the good stuff. All the blemishes are gone. All the pictures are pretty. You don't see, people aren't liking a bunch of pictures that aren't pretty. They're liking pictures that are pretty. But what they don't know is artificial intelligence in the camera that they just used took all the blemishes off of the face of that person that they're looking at going, oh, look how beautiful they are. I wish I looked like them. And we have young women who the anxiety in their life is so high. I can't look. I don't look like them. I got to throw up. I've got to do these other things to look that way. I've got to do all these other medical procedures so I can look as that pretty. The anxiety happens, even though behind it, it's not even true, because what happens is desires. We begin to desire that, and that desire gives birth to sinful actions. But these temptations, God will not have you tempted, allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. He knows it. So if you're being tempted pretty hard and heavy in some area of your life, go, man, God thinks a lot of me. He thinks I'm good at this. I can make it through God. I can do this with God's help. I can do this. I know I can make it through. James then in chapter 1, verse 2 says, dear brothers and sisters, When you go through these kind of things, when you go through trouble and temptations and trials and all the things that go on in your life, he says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. We don't do that. We look at it and we consider an opportunity to get aggravated and upset and ticked off and mad and everything else. But I say consider an opportunity for great joy. In my business, we had some stuff that the company that runs my website and does my search engine optimization, they really messed me over a few weeks ago. Really, just royally messed me over because they made some huge mistakes. And my company went from being ranked where it needed to be in the community to literally disappearing. I mean, if you go right now and you were just to look up roofing companies near me, I don't even show up in the map section. I mean, just totally went from the top three to totally disappearing. And so through this, it was aggravating, definitely aggravating, but what I asked myself is, God, what are you trying to allow me to learn from this? How do I need to learn? What are you trying to teach me? What's going on? I don't believe God did it. I believe God allowed it to happen. So I'm trying to say, God, what do you need me to learn? So instead of being upset and mad and ticked off about it, as most people would be, and you would say they have a right to be, right? But instead, I'm going, what do you want out of this? What do you want out of this? And praise God, you got people, you know, like a great wife who talks to you, doesn't really know everything, but you know, encourages you, and you got people like Errol that call you and go, man, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're going to be great, everything's going to be fine. That's what happened, didn't it, Errol? That's what happened. You're like, everything's going to be great, man, come on. We got this going. Now, you know what? I may be talking to Errol this week going, hey, Errol, it's going to be great, it's going to be fine, because he may be going through something. But, you know, we have that. We count it all joy when we go through these various trials, these various things that go on in our life, the temptations that go on in our life. Hey, God, you're not going to let me be tempted above what I can stand. You must have a lot of faith in me, Lord. I'm going through. I'm going to make it through this, Lord, even though it may be difficult. He says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. If you ever work out, like Jason over here, it hurts. It hurts to build those muscles, but through that, if you keep on pressing through and keep on pressing through, you see the results later. It's the same way with our faith. When we press through, we get to look back later and go, look at the results. I love these results right here. These are some good results. I love what I've come through. He says, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. As you go through it, let it grow. Dive into the Word. Dive into Jesus. Call somebody. Say, hey, I'm being tempted, or I'm going through something, or somebody's treating me in a way that makes me want to just take their head off. Can you help me out? Can you be there for me? And I know the church here, the people in this church, they're going to pick up the phone. They're going to be there for you. They're going to pray with you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to strengthen you. Together, they're going to be there to help you walk out the life that you need to in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we go back to Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Notice in this, he is the rock. He is the foundation that we build our lives upon. He is the foundation that we build our morals upon. He is the foundation that keeps us from sinking into that sand of temptation. I think we might have sung it this last Sunday night. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, but the Master, how's it go? But sinking to rise no more, but the Master of the sea heard my despairing. From the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Love lifted me. See, Jason can sing. We'll have him sing. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. That love is the rock of our salvation. That love is the rock of our salvation. Love lifted us. That rock is firm. It is firm. The Bible says we don't want to build our house on the sand. We want to build it upon the rock of Jesus. That's what we want to do. And when we do that, praise God, what our life is going to end up like. It may not be great here, but it's going to be great. We have a prize in Christ Jesus that we are running toward, that we want to achieve. And I want to encourage you this morning. It's not about beating you over the head about living your life right. It's about encouraging you that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart can be acceptable in the sight of our Lord because we give it to Him and we do it together. Praise God. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for every person that has attended this morning or who has been online this morning. Father, we thank You for what You're doing in their lives. We thank You for what You're doing here at Unlimited Church. Lord, we know You've got great plans for us. Lord, great plans for us. You have the opportunities out there for us to be able to speak about Jesus and tell people about the Lord. So open the doors up for us, Lord. Lord, as we go through temptation, Lord, let us look to You, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us understand that through You we can do anything, that all things are possible through You, that we should not say, oh, we can't do that, we can't control our tongue, we can't control our temper, we can't control what we think about. But instead, Lord, we will not be like King David. But when those temptations arise for us to do things we shouldn't do, and those desires breed sinful nature into our life and death in our life, instead we turn around and we walk away and we say, this is not right. This is not what God wants for me. He said that I will not endure temptations beyond what I can bear. That's what His scripture says. And I meditate upon His word and I believe in His promises, for His promises are true. They are yes and amen. And they will always be that way. We thank You for it this morning, Lord. Keep us safe as we go through this day. Lord, for those who are not here this morning, for whatever reason, Lord, if they are sick, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that You will bring healing into their life. Lord, if they are having other issues in their lives, Lord, we pray that You'll help those issues. Lord, those who are traveling, keep them safe and in Your hand. And Lord, those who are just trying to figure out that life with You, Lord, draw them close to You, Lord. Never let them go, Lord, and let them know that we are here for them. We praise You for every person that You have given us here at Unlimited Church, and we want the best for them, and we want Your love to be in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise You, Holy Spirit. Praise You, Holy Spirit. So we've got some things coming up this week. We've got this coming Sunday, this next Sunday, we're going to honor a couple of people in the church that are graduating. So we're going to honor them. And I think they're going to have something out here, a box or something, if you want to, you know, drop